Hey, we're going to Nehemiah chapter 12 today as we continue our look, and only going to have one more week after this one in this great series, Nehemiah, Cupbearer to the King. And as we've been walking through the journey and the testimony of Nehemiah's, or a portion of Nehemiah's life, when he went back to Jerusalem for the rebuilding of the walls of that city. Today we're jumping to chapter 12, which is kind of jumping ahead from where we were last week, because the couple of chapters in between are primarily list of family names of who was in Jerusalem and who went back to Jerusalem when they rededicated the city. Now, I know that all of you are much more spiritual than I am, and when you come to the genealogies and things like that in the Bible, you pause and reflect on them and really hang out on those names, right? Maybe not. I kind of cruise over them sometimes unless I'm studying, but I know you hang out on those lists. But for the purposes of this series, I'm not going to hang out on those two chapters. We're jumping over to chapter 12. But if you like the list of names, by all means, go back and read chapters 10 and 11, because there's a great list in there, and maybe you'll find a name for your next kid or something like that. But we're going to Nehemiah chapter 12, and I'm going to read from 27 to 31, 27 to 31. So follow along there with me in a message titled, Praising at the Dung Gate. Verse 27 says this, At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. The musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from Beth Gilgal, and from the area of Geba and Azmapheth, for the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. I had the leaders of Judah, that's Nehemiah speaking, first person, I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward the Dung Gate. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks once again for your word. Speak to our hearts. Equip us as your people as we consider the truths from it today. We ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Church, would you pray with me? Lord, give me a heart of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You go to someone else's home. You have been invited over as a guest. You go to someone else's home. You are there, and in their home, you need to relieve yourself. So you ask this individual, excuse me, where's the bathroom? And they tell you, oh, go down the hall. It's the second door on the right. And you go down the hall and you go in there and you do what you have to do. And then you reach over and you push the little lever to flush the toilet. And then instead of going down, the water starts coming up. Are you with me? That is like the most frightening thing on the face of the planet, that you were in someone else's house and you flushed the toilet and it's not going down, it's coming up. Atheists pray in that moment. In that moment, people who don't even believe in Jesus start praying. No, 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 no. Go down, go down. You're talking to the toilet, doing what you have to do. You're pulling the back off of it, stopping the water. You are so scared that it is not disappearing and going away in that situation. All of us love the convenience of the toilet. Can I get an amen? Of course we do. We love it that we just pull a lever and magically whatever went into the toilet disappears. Now here at Silver Spring Assembly, please don't put things in the toilet that shouldn't go in the toilet. We spent several thousand dollars in the spring for clogged lines, for people flushing stuff they shouldn't flush. That's a whole different thing. I just like snuck that in as a commercial to please only flush toilet paper and stuff that comes out of you. We'll leave that just at that. Okay, let's keep moving. All right, so we like that we flush the toilet and everything just magically disappears, right? It's a wonderful convenience. Of course, we think that's a great thing. But imagine this, and some of you may have done it in your lives. Imagine living in a city that has no city sewage system. Imagine that there is no septic tank, that there is nothing like that, and you can't flush the toilet and everything magically disappears. You do your business in a bucket, and when you're done, it is still there. It doesn't simply go away. There is no government-operated trash removal. You are responsible for your own garbage. You are responsible for your own human waste. You are responsible for the waste of any animals in your possession. No truck is coming by to empty your can. No pipes exist underground to magically transport things away from your home. I have walked the streets of the slums of Bangkok, my wife there with me, and seen people living in just makeshift shacks next to just open flowing sewage. And it reeks. It's unreal to think that someone is living in such conditions. But there are people who do to this day, the stench appalling. Dealing with sewage is a big deal. Always has been. That's not modern. Always has been. Travel back in time with me today to our text. It's around 445 BC, and we find Nehemiah, cupbearer to the king, born a slave, now the governor of Jerusalem, which is a province of the Persian Empire at this time. And we've walked with Nehemiah on this journey through these last couple of months, set apart by God. Nehemiah had journeyed to Jerusalem, of course, to rebuild the city walls that he found burned and crumbling. And it was an incredible effort. And in 2 months, he had led the people to accomplish what they had not pulled off in the previous 100 years. They did it in 2 months. 100 years they had been there with the walls crashed down and finally got the job done. In our text today, the wall is back up, the city gates are hung, and as we saw last Sunday, a celebration, a dedication is underway, and we've got a picture of the city. Yeah, go ahead and put that up. Now, the city, the walled portion of the city is pretty small. The larger building that you would see up top, that's the temple area of the walled portion of Jerusalem at this time. And there are homes that are within the wall. That wall is extremely tall. And then you see homes all on the outside of the city as well, because there are people who lived outside of the city walls, but you had the walls that Nehemiah put up. It's not a round city. It's not square. It's this long thing like that. That's a drawing of what it would have looked like at that time. And although you might not be able to see it great, the towers that you see along it, those are where the gates are. The gates that would close so that to keep people out in the events of an attack or something like that. So I want you to be able to visualize that work that was going on there. So let's go back to my sermon title for me and keep moving with that. In our text today, one of those gates in particular is pointed out for us, and it is the dung gate. I'm not really this far along in my message yet. If you guys can back me up to the title, hopefully that's there. Whoever's controlling the slides in the back. There should be another slide after that one. Maybe we're missing one this morning. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's the title of the message, just so you know, because I know all of you faithfully file all my sermons and the notes that you take is actually called Praising at the Dung Gate. But I think we're missing that slide somehow back there. So in our text today, again, it's that dung gate that is pointed out, the refuse gate. And again, there's no sewage system. You get rid of the waste. If you live in Jerusalem at this time, if you live within the city walls, you do this through the dung gate, through the dung gate. You say, Pastor, what is the dung gate? If we were to bring it forward into modern times, we might call it the poopy gate. Are you with me? Maybe we would call it the caca gate. Maybe we would call it the doo-doo gate. My wife will have comments to me when we get home that I put all of these words into my sermon today. This is the gate where you take everything out. You take everything out through this gate. It's a pretty important gate, hello. It's pretty important. You got to get rid of everything. There is no sewage system. It's got to go out somewhere. And rather than haul waste all over the city to get it out, everything has to go through one particular gate in order to get it out and to be dumped outside. And that's to keep other areas of the city clean. And although we have never lived in this city or somewhere like this, we can use our imagination. This gate stinks. Come on, let's be for real. This gate stinks. It stinks at the dung gate. It smells terrible at the dung gate. Can you imagine that you were, and you already know it was the kids who were often having to do it. You already know, Caleb, you already know your parents are not hauling the bucket to the dung gate. You know they're making one of you do it. They're like, hey, you got to take the waste out. And you're like, I don't want to go there. And they're like, no, you have to go there. But I don't want to go there. And you go and you have to get your bucket. And man, I know if it was me, I'd have probably put something on my nose or something. I'd have got the Lysol. I'd have been like, all right, I'll do it. And you go through, and this gate stinks. And you have to haul everything out through it to dump it outside of the city. How come nobody's saying amen? This is a terrible gate, and yet it's a vital one. It's a vital one that they haul stuff through. This gate stinks. Somebody has not carried their bucket as far as they were supposed to. Come on. You know they were supposed to go farther out, but some lazy person has dumped their bucket too soon. Come on, you already know what happened. Somebody spilled their bucket on the way out. Somebody, whatever it would be in this regard, somebody has dropped their trash. There's flies, there's mice, there's rats. And when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, he had to rehang the gates of the city. And one of the gates he rehung was the dung gate. But now that the task was complete and the wall was rebuilt and the gates were hung, and they are celebrating. And when you finish something, you celebrate. We had students. Deborah was just up here. She graduated from high school this week. That's a great thing to celebrate, right? And there's other students in our church. Next Sunday, in fact, we're honoring our high school grads. We'll be reaching out to you this week in a specific way in our service. We want you to be here. And they had finished the wall, and it was a God thing. And here they were under foreign occupation, and yet they had pulled this off. And Nehemiah got everybody together, and we got everybody together. They had read God's word, and then he said, we're going to sing. And he split the people into two choirs. So think of this as one choir. You guys are choir one. Who are you? Choir one. Come on, help your neighbor if they don't know. You guys are choir two. Who are you? Choir two. So you're going to go north. Which way are you going? And you're going to go south. Which way are you going? All right, this choir is doing a little better in following the instructions than this choir. I just want to point that out because this choir over here is really quiet. Which way are you going? Okay, they're improving. They're improving. Yes, they're doing good. So we've got Nehemiah says going to split you up into two choirs, and he says this side over here you're gonna go up on the wall and you're gonna wrap around the wall going north of the city toward the temple. Oh man, the temple, the place of sacrifice, the place of God's presence. And you're going to go along, the wall's huge, you can walk on top of it. And you're going to go along the wall and you're going to sing praises to God on top of the wall headed toward the temple. That's your job. That's pretty good, right? And then he said, this other choir over here, he said, that choir, you're going to go down and you're going to give God praise down by the dung gate. That's your choir. Think about that. Now, if Nehemiah was dividing it up, sorry if you're at home, and I was just there and he was like, all right, this side, you're going to the dung gate. And he said, and that side over there, you're going, I'd have just been like, watch it. I was supposed to be sitting over here. I just went over there to say something to somebody. I didn't even mean to be over there. I don't know what I was doing on that side. I mean, come on. Who would want to be in that choir would seem crazy to even be in a sign there. But Nehemiah says one of the choirs is going to go down. We've got it in Nehemiah 12:31. Put the verse back up. Nehemiah 12:31. He says, I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward what? Man, I would have had COVID that day for sure. I know I would have had COVID that day. I'd have been like, man, I didn't get tested yet, but I got the symptoms. You know, I got to quarantine for 10 days and I got to be safe, man. I think I got it, man. I think it got me again or something. And he said, they're going to go down by the dung gate. What an assignment to get. The choirs would go all around the city, giving praise to God everywhere. And if you ever study the gates of Jerusalem, we'll do it along the way. They all have different significance. you know, the sheep gate is where Jesus came through as the lamb to be slain, praise God. And each of them were very significant in what God was doing. But one of the assignments when they were giving thanks to God was Nehemiah says, we're going to give thanks to God where it stinks. Where it stinks. There's a truth snuck in there that in this great book as it comes to a close that we don't want to miss. From the beautiful and pleasant to even where it stinks, God is to be thanked. Because sometimes life is beautiful and everything comes up roses, but sometimes life stinks. Amen? Amen. You can take that verse down and keep moving along for the message with me if you would. Sometimes life stinks, praise. Well, I don't want to say praise God. It just does. But we give thanks to God. At both times, whenever we're in between, God is God. Amen? And there's always reason to thank him for who he is and all that he's done. Now, this requires a real understanding of who God is and what God is doing. We have to get it. We have to get it that we're eternal beings. We have to get it that life is not just about today. We have to remember that at all times, the great price that Jesus paid for our salvation always makes him worthy of being thanked and praised, no matter what we're going through in life, because we're eternal beings. And when we do, when we remember that, we always have something to give thanks for. David wrote this in Psalm 34:1. He wrote, I will bless the Lord at when? All times. Somebody say all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Habakkuk wrote it like this in 3:17-18. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. What was the prophet saying? Man, even when there's lack, I'm still going to give thanks to God. I'm still going to give thanks to God. Nehemiah's Thanksgiving choir could give thanks where it stunk because they had this perspective of the big picture. They knew that what was true is true no matter how things are. And when you understand that truth, when you understand how much you're loved by God and how he gave his only son, Jesus, to pay the price for your sins, that if you believe in him, you live eternally, that you have eternal life in Christ Jesus. When you understand that, when you get that, even though life stinks sometimes, you can still open your eyes in the morning and say, his mercies are new this morning. Come on. When you understand who Christ is, that he lives in you, that he is your hope, that even when things are bad, you can say, you know what, God, I thank you, though, because you've redeemed me, you've saved my soul, you've gone to prepare a place for me, and I'm grateful for who you are and all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for this day and what you're doing in my life. Thank you for your grace. Everything isn't good right now, but you are. But you are. Because things aren't always good, but God is. Amen? In Nehemiah's day, the choir gave thanks for many things, and they are things that we've seen throughout his book, reasons to be grateful. I want us to just catch a couple really quick here that we want to remember as well. One of them has really stood out through his book, and that is that they gave thanks for God's word. They gave thanks for God's word. We ought to as well. Let me read this to you from Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. You won't see this. Just listen along with me or follow along in your own Bible. Nehemiah 1, 8 and 9, the very beginning of the book, says this. This is Nehemiah praying. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. That's Nehemiah 1, 8, and 9. Nehemiah is praying, and he is praying the word of God. He hasn't gone back to Jerusalem yet when he prays that. He's still in Babylon. And he's heard about the city in ruin. And he is actually saying to God, God, remember what you said. You said, God, that even if we had fallen into sin and been taken away into exile, you said that if we turned back to you, that you would restore the city and bring your people back to that place. He is praying the word of God. Come on, I encourage you to pray the word of God. He's praying Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 30 there. When life stinks, make sure you remember what God has said, because all of God's promises are yes and in him, amen. Come on, somebody give me an amen. God's word equips us in the trial. In a time of lack, we remember, my God shall supply all. Come on, somebody say all. All my need according to his riches and glory. In a time of stress, we remember that God's word says that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. In a time of worry, we recall from God's word, I can cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. In a time of fear, we remember God's word says he never leaves me and he never forsakes me. When we stumble, we're reminded his grace is sufficient. If you don't feel like you can take any more, you remember I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whatever you go through, God's word strengthens you. It equips you. You get to know the word of God. Be thankful for the word of God in your life because God's word will get you through. Come on. Amen. God's word will get you through. They gave thanks as well for God's favor, for God's favor. By the time we get to chapter 12, Nehemiah, at this dedication celebration, he must have stood back in awe. He knew who he was. He knew where he had come from. It wasn't that long ago that he was a servant in a foreign land, living in Babylon, serving the king. Now he was the governor of the region. He had won no election. He was a child of God who had been appointed by a pagan king. Come on, that's a God thing. That is a God thing through and through. It's a Daniel-type story. How does a slave in exile end up being appointed by a pagan king to rule and rebuild the city his ancestors had come from? Favor is how. The favor of God and the favor of man. That is it, that you do that. How does a foreign power financially support the rebuilding of the home of their enemies that they have previously destroyed? Favor. The favor of God and the favor of man. How had he arrived as a total outsider? No one even knew him, and yet the people had simply accepted him and had followed his leadership to accomplish this great task in this. Nehemiah knew it was nothing but the favor of God upon him that this had happened. It was not himself. How had everyone stood with him in the face of opposition and pressed on when the task got difficult? Somebody say favor. Nehemiah knew God was on his side. And if God is for you, help me out. Who can be against you? I remember one time, and we'll recall different occasions like this, but one comes to my mind of I was preaching a series of meetings in northern India, and the crowds had grown each night, and we were there for the fourth or fifth night, and over a couple of thousand people had gathered from all around in the village and had come out, and as the service was going on and songs were being sung, and I was standing there in this outdoor meeting watching the crowd grow, waiting there, just standing, and I thought to myself, what in the world am I doing on this stage? And I left it. And I was the preacher. I was the preacher. And I walked off the stage and I went around out back by myself in the dark of the night and I stood there and I'll never forget standing there and praying and I said, God, I'm just a country boy from Virginia. What in the world am I doing here? Like, what am I doing here? Like, what will I say to these people that I've come to this place? I know who I am. And God spoke to my heart. No, you're here because I chose you. I chose you for this task. I called you for this. And I went back up there knowing, man, it is nothing but the favor of God. Man, however God uses you in the Kairos moments in your life, you know it was all God. Amen? We know who we are. We know where we've come from. He gets the glory. He chose us. Amen? Psalm 118:23, speaking of what God's plan, the psalmist declared, the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We didn't save our own souls. We didn't forgive our own sins. It's all by the grace and the favor of God. Let me keep moving. They also gave thanks for God's way of escape. Remember, not everybody liked what Nehemiah was doing. He had plenty of opponents along the way. We saw that in the book. They had lied about him. They had tried to discredit him. They had sought to bring him down. And sometimes it will happen. Sometimes people will come against you. And sometimes you thought someone you thought would support you all along is going to go behind your back. But we have to remember, people are never really the enemy, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are never really the enemy. The battle is spiritual. The devil wants to steal from you. The devil doesn't just want to steal from you. He wants to kill you. The devil doesn't just want to kill you. He wants to destroy the work of God in your life. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Since God's plan for us is victory, and Satan is already a disarmed, defeated foe, what the devil, of course, tries to do is to scare us, to fill our hearts with doubt and fear. And that's what he had tried to do with Nehemiah and the people. But Nehemiah had not given into that temptation. Instead of fighting his opponents in the natural, he had hit his knees in prayer and had continued the work. He had used spiritual weapons for that spiritual battle. And God had delivered him from all his fears. Remember this. Remember that when life stinks, always remember that it stunk before somewhere along the way and God brought you out. When life stinks, look back and remember, this isn't the first time my life stunk. Life stunk before, and God brought me out. And the same God who brought me out when it was stinking before will bring me out when life stinks this time as well. Amen? He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. As the choir gathered on the wall and began to sing songs of thanksgivings, their minds would race back to the months and the weeks before. I mean, a year ago, this city was in ruin. If they had wanted to rebuild, they wouldn't have been permitted. Not only that, they would never have had the resources. 6 months ago, Nehemiah was in Babylon still praying. 2 months ago, they were working with swords strapped to their sides while they were laying bricks, watching, fearful of enemy attack during the construction. A month ago, many of them had wanted to quit. But here they were, standing on the wall with the task complete, and what had seemed impossible for years was done. God had done it, praise God. Isaiah 43:2, God says of his people, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Amen. "When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Do you pass through the water? Yes. Does the river go over you? Yes. Will you sometimes end up in the fire? Yes. It doesn't say that won't happen, but it says you won't get burned, you won't drown, it won't overwhelm you, because God will be with us, praise God. One last thought today. Give thanks for God's grace. Give thanks for God's grace. Nehemiah's prayer reveals to us how Jerusalem ended up in the condition that it was in at this time. The people had fallen into sin. Because they had fallen, Babylon had not come in and had conquered Jerusalem as just some great military conquest. It had been prophesied. The prophet Jeremiah foretold it before it ever even took place. It was, we have fallen into sin, and God is going to allow this enemy nation to come in here as like an act of discipline or judgment upon us to shake us up, to get us back. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, what does it say? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he disciplines. It was an act of discipline upon them is what the Bible teaches us, to jolt them. And that was how they got into this situation, was that as a people, they had fallen away from God, had fallen too far from him. But now the people had repented. Now they were turning away from their sins and turning back to God. And God's response to them was what God's response always is when people repent and turn back to him. It's in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, come on, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Grizel, I want to invite you to join me, if you would, at this time in the worship team to come up here and begin to make your way to the front. In 2007, let me pull this together. In 2007, there was an amazing discovery in Jerusalem. 2007. There were archaeologists there who were digging. In fact, I have an article that I printed out that is from the Jerusalem Post that talks about this. So there was an archaeological dig going on in 2007. Let me just read you the title and the very opening of this article, just the very beginning of it. Catch this. It's called Nehemiah's Wall Uncovered, all right? The year is 2007. the remnants of a wall from the time of the prophet Nehemiah have been uncovered in an archaeological excavation in Jerusalem's ancient city of David, strengthening recent claims that King David's palace had been found at the site, an Israeli archaeologist said Wednesday. Catch this. The section of the 2,500-year-old Nehemiah wall located just outside the Dung Gate and the old city walls facing the Mount of Olives was dated by pottery, and they noted along that way. Man, can you believe when they dug it up, there was one section that survived? The dung, maybe nobody wanted to go near that section to tear it down later. I don't know. But you know, when I read this, all I could think was, wow, 2,500 years ago, there was a time when a group of people got together and they had gone up on that wall that was uncovered there. And they had walked out by the Dung Gate. And when they walked out there, you know what they did? Even though it stunk, they started singing songs of thanksgiving to God. They said, look what God has done. Look at what God has done. God has been good to us. He gave us His word. His grace has been sufficient. He has shown us great favor. He brought us out. He made a way of escape. And even though it stunk, they still gave God thanks. Come on, I've lived a long time, probably longer than any of you. I thought somebody might say amen. I don't know. But I've lived long enough that light reality is, if you're a teenager in the room, you've lived plenty long enough to know this as well. You already know that sometimes life is absolutely wonderful, and sometimes, come on, sometimes life stinks. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's just lousy. Some days are just lousy. That's part of life as well. But even when it stinks, we still thank God. We know who He is. It's His grace. It's His favor that brings us through. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're gonna sing an old hymn together. You know it. Grizel, why don't you just go ahead and begin to lead us out in this. We're going to sing it before I pray. Hallelujah. Yes.
When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power the universe displayed.
Come on, church. Then, yes.
Oh, my Savior God to thee.
How great thou art.
How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul.
Sings my soul,
then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
How great thou art,
how great thou art.
Yes,
how great thou art.
Yes, you are.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
How great,
how great thou art.
Lord, even in the bad time, in the good, in the when the days of plenty, when the times where it seems like life is such a struggle, you're still great, Lord God. And when we look at it all, when we look at the big picture and we think of your mercies and your grace and your way of salvation and all of the things that you've kept us through, although today sometimes might not be good, our response is still, how great thou art. We will give you thanks. We will give you praise for your goodness, for your mercy, for who you are. And we know, your God, that just as you brought us through before, you will bring us through once again, Lord God. So even when life stinks, we're going to have grateful hearts before you, Lord God, much like these people did. God, we thank you for your word. As they gave thanks for your word, we give thanks for your word. May we hide it in our hearts, I pray, Lord God, as we give our hearts fully to you. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. For the Lord, he is good. Amen. And his mercies endureth forever. Never forget that. The Lord, he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Hey, if you're watching us at home, I want you to hold on to that promise as well. Make sure you give thanks for the goodness of God as you live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. And that's true over every one of us. You can slip out as you're ready as you guys lead us in this once again. Amen.